We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, chatting today with Ron Fear, City Manager, and Wynn Butler, the Mayor of City Commissioner here. Consent agenda has quite a few interesting items on it. We talked about one of them here a little bit. Why don't we just start there first, if you don't mind, Ron, the
sure.
Housing market?
So we do have, we did a request for proposals for housing market analysis and policy strategy study for the community. It's been quite a while since we've done one, and we've selected a firm out of St. Louis. I think there were 8 proposals, and I think the selection committee interviewed 4 and are recommending Development Strategies, Inc. Out of St. Louis, that also has some offices in Wichita. They've done quite a bit of housing analysis work in the state of Kansas for some other cities, as well as in the Midwest. And we had budgeted $95,000 for this project, and the contract proposed is for that amount. And as the mayor said, the most money we're planning, about $59,000, is proposed to be funded out of the economic development funds. And then with the water and wastewater and stormwater funds, each contributing about $11,875. So we anticipate that this study will take about a year. And the consultants are also recommending a pretty substantial steering committee for this item. And that steering committee would have be made up of a lot of different stakeholders. They're proposing a roughly a 9 to 12 member steering committee that's made up of philanthropic organizations, banking and finance, especially those that deal with Community Reinvestment Act loans and affordable housing lending experience. The development community would be another folks that for market rate housing, as well as more affordable housing, such as tax credits, the Realtors Association, housing-related social service providers and counseling programs, other advocacy organizations and neighborhood representatives, as well as major employers in the business community, some university representatives, some economic development partners, and Fort Riley representatives. So that sounds like more than a dozen, but we'll see what that does. I think the suggestion is to use something similar that we just did with the indoor aquatic study, is that folks that were in would be interested in serving would fill out a form and submit it to the city, and then the commission would the mayor and the commissioner would utilize that to make a recommendation for naming a steering committee here in a month or so.
All right.
And I think you know, we passed this you know, what a lot of people are referring to, just the renewed economic development tax. And it's going to generate some money each year for workforce housing, and we'll start collecting that, I think, 2023. So this housing study really is a data point that we need so that we can have an affordable housing group and also a workforce housing group. And a lot of people don't understand the distinction between the two. And of course, workforce housing is really intended for households with incomes that are so high that they don't qualify for the low income subsidy. So that there's a difference in workforce and affordable housing. And this study can maybe help us, you know, put that together, because workforce housing is, you know, indicates a program targeting households that earn too much to qualify for traditional affordable housing subsidies. So there's two different angles here to work at. And we really need to get a good database. So I'm hoping that this study will provide that. And then that'll be the starting point for those committees that we're going to have work on those things that we've talked about for years. And we'll probably get those going as soon as this affordable housing study is complete.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be an interesting study here for the community. There's some other items of note here on the consent agenda here as well, and including some changes at City Park Playground.
Yes, this is award a contract to a company that specifically does the soft playground surfacing, and they've done some for us in the past, and we're recommending awarding a contract, as they submitted the lowest bid of $232 for replacing the padded turfing, if you will, at the City Park Playground. We also have an item that would authorize the city administration to finalize the mayor and city clerk to execute a construction contract to repair the streetscape, electrical outlets, and other electrical items downtown. It's a situation where the electrical circuitry in our tree wells downtown that we use for electrical, mainly for holiday lighting, but also for some special events to be able to plug some additional things into, has deteriorated and to the point where we've had to completely shut them off because they're unsafe to use. And so in order to get these back up in place, or at least some of them, for the holidays, we are asking the commission to approve a process which allows us to negotiate with some existing contractors that have experience in that particular area there to expedite the repairs. Could run as high as $300,000 to repair anywhere from 80 to 100 outlets.
Wow.
That for me is a very important thing. You know, I've been working with the chamber. We're trying to, you know, get Manhattan to own the holidays, basically, and have all kinds of holiday events planned from November, you know, through New Year's. And the idea here is to generate, you know, people coming to the city and spending money and collecting sales tax. And that isn't going to work if we can't have the atmosphere. And that atmosphere is generated by the lights and the electric and those things. So if the power is not there, the whole thing falls apart. And so this is absolutely essential. We've got to fund this. And I'm really disappointed that, you know, we didn't get something done on it sooner, because we're going to be up against a hard deadline here. If we can't get that a lot of it fixed by the middle of November, we've got some problems. And, you know, over the years, even the great Festival of Lights down in Blue Earth Plaza, you know, there's just not enough power there to do all the things that they want to do. So we need to do some major, you know, upgrades, and that'll give us the launching platform to, you know, build that culture that's going to attract people. You know, we can't have carriage rides for, you know, the Christmas holidays with the lights not working downtown. It doesn't make any sense. The atmosphere just won't be there. Nobody will come to the city. And so we got to get that fixed. It's absolutely vital.
All right. Very good. Well, I wanted to ask you, we got just a few minutes left here, about the community house renovation. When I know you posted about that on your Facebook page this week, and I have to say the photos from that look amazing. That's a nice renovation that took place.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that. One of my goals always has been to take, you know, what I call, you know, properties the city has, and we've done that with a couple that are underutilized, not used very much. And while the community house was an asset, it was, you know, the facility that we had there, you know, gym was replaced by much better facilities, the improved, you know, Douglas Center, the, you know, Anthony facility and the Eisenhower facility. So clearly the city didn't need that. And now it's back on the tax rolls. The developer went out of his way to, you know, accomplish all the various historical things. So the building's been preserved. It's in much better shape than it's ever been in the past 10 years. And if you look in it and look at those pictures, it is fantastic. He's got, you know, retail space in there, office space. I think there's 7 apartments, and it's just really well done. And the building is now preserved, and it'll be there as an asset, you know, for the city for many years, be a big asset for downtown. And again, it's generating property tax at this point, where before it wasn't. So I'm quite pleased with the way that happened. And, you know, my hat's off to the developer. He just did a heck of a job negotiating, you know, through all the various historic hoops, even put a special plaque inside the building. And of course, there's one on the outside, the original, you know, plaque that was there. So,
yeah. It'd be great for community events. You know, I think it'd be a great event space there.
Yeah, he's going to have, you know, where the gym was upstairs, he preserved the open space because that was a requirement, and did an interesting design there. And I believe there's going to be, you know, some retail facility in there. Hmm. And he's right now, he told me he's 93% occupied. So wow. That's pretty good.
Absolutely. That is great. Well, just a couple more minutes here. We saw the pools wrap up here this past weekend, and I might just ask Ron, how are you feeling with? I don't know if you've had a chance to look at receipts yet. We only had two of the three pools open here, so curious what that might look like.
Well, overall, we're very pleased with our data. I don't have all of the results in through this past Sunday, but all in all, it's very close, a little bit under what we had in 2019, which was our last normal year of operation with all three pools open. So all total, we had in City Park, this is daily admissions. It's lessons and some of our Twilight Swim and some of the other programs that we have running, about 59,000 in City Pool, 19,000 at Northview for just over 78,000. Those aren't the official, in our lesson programs, most of our rentals that we had, we did have generally about 56 different rentals. Most of those were out at Northview. Because we were doing some evening lessons, which was not what we didn't normally do. Normally, SECO was one of our main lesson pools. So with it out, we had to double up in some of the other areas. And that seemed to work pretty well. And those lessons touched about over 1,600 individuals that participated in swim lesson programs. So overall, we're very pleased. Obviously, we didn't have the extra cost, and we still were not able to hire enough guards. And of course, the main challenges for not opening SECO was not having the staff, either on the maintenance side or the lifeguard side. We are recertifying lifeguards, but overall, we're very pleased.
Okay. Well, appreciate the update there. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Brandon.